than murdered. Other friends have flown before. On the morrow he will leave me, as my hopes have flown before. And the bird said nevermore.
You're listening to The Call Podcast with Brandon and Josh.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new edition of The Call. It's a Baltimore Ravens podcast where we talk anything and everything Baltimore Ravens football. Thank you for listening to us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Podcast, and Spotify. Well, it's been a while, guys. Have you missed us?
We're back. We're back. It feels good to say Overcast, man. Feels good to say Overcast.
I can see your face. You were like, yeah, here we go.
I couldn't wait to say it. I'm like, yeah, we're back, and we're back podcasting. I've already been podcasting. I got one up on you. I was a special guest on the show last week. I shared the link, Strictly Sports Podcast, with my buddy Steve. We did a mock draft. Things have changed since then. Ravens have made some noise. We traded away the disgruntled players we thought was going to happen, and Ravens do what they do best. They accumulated more picks, and we all know the aftermath of that, what it is. We'll break it down, our opinions on it. And we got a draft tomorrow night, man. NFL Draft 2021 in Cleveland, Ohio. Fans will be in attendance in some capacity. We're starting to move towards momentum of getting back to some relevance of fans. I mean, we know that the UFC had fans last week. It was crazy.
Did you see any of that card?
Yeah, the whole thing. It was ridiculous. Oh, one of the best cards ever.
Can I tell you, Thug Rose, she is legit. She is a BA. I mean, I've been a big fan of this chick since the Joanna Jędrzejczyk fight. So, like, every yes. time that she had a fight, I was like, okay, cool, this is going to be a good card. But the fight she had, like, there's a video ESPN put out where she's being introed, and she's just going, I'm the best. I'm the best. I'm the best. I'm the best. And she's shaking. So much passion from this chick. She is awesome. She's becoming one of my all-time favorite UFC fighters. And she's legit. And yeah, she is the best.
Yeah, that's great, man. You speak it and it comes to fruition. A great, great win on her to take the belt and a new champion. Had to feel, man, Chris Weidman. Freak accident, man. Ooh. 8 years later, right? Happened to his opponent, Anderson Silva, against him. Crazy. 8 years later, full circle. He kicks his opponent in the bottom knee. Boom. Breaks his leg or breaks his ankle and then lands on it. It was gruesome. Top to bottom, probably one of the best cards. Got your money's worth out of it.
Oh, yeah. And UFC will take all of your money.
Yeah, they will. And then some. You might be tuning in and be like, guys, where's the football? Tune into some football. But dude, as we know, The Call, we cover it all. We kind of do a hybrid, like wrestling, UFC, football. Yeah. Hey, me and Brandon, it's what we love to do. But not only that, Ravens have some heavyweight picks, don't they? Did some work. They have 9 now. Yeah. And not only that, but who thought it was a great idea to equip Eric DaCosta with 2 first-rounders? How about that? Not one, yeah, two.
That's going to be scary. We know what he's done. Yeah, you know what he's done when he had 2 first-round picks last time. But before we get into the draft, let's talk a little bit about that Zeus Jr. trade, because it's like I'm torn about this trade. Like, part of me is happy it happened because Zeus Jr. was unhappy being here. He asked for a trade. You don't want a player who's not 100% in on your team. So I like the fact that we were able to turn a 3rd-round pick into a 1st-round pick, and you don't have to pay his contract when you do have Lamar's contract looming in the next season or so. So I like that aspect. But to trade it away to Kansas City, ooh, that hurt a little bit, because we know how good Zeus Jr. is. Now he's going to be a guy that, you know, for all intents and purposes, if the Ravens want to make the Super Bowl, they're going to be facing the Kansas City Chiefs at some point. You have to
most undoubtedly so.
Yeah. So what's your thoughts on the trade?
Yeah, I actually like it. It's funny because obviously fan reaction was a little bit mixed. You had some fans that didn't like it. You had fans that loved it. It's all opinion, right? It's no different than seeing a movie. Oh, it was a good movie. Oh, it was a great movie. Because you didn't like the trade doesn't mean that, you know, everybody else shouldn't like the trade. I mean, I've gotten reasons why. One of my closest friends compared the trade. He didn't like it. And when compared why, he said, well, the Dolphins got more for Laremy Tunsil, who's a less of a player than Orlando Brown. I get it, right? You know, if you're comparing that, I understand the analogy. But given that what your point was, right, for a player who was disgruntled, wasn't going to be here, I think we got crazy value for him. Not only that, but I don't focus. See, I get it, right? Oh, he went to a rival Chiefs and beat them. But I look at it, that's my secondary view. I look at it as the Chief, from a business standpoint, right? The Chiefs, they filled a void. They lost their first round pick, former first round pick, Eric Fisher. They needed a line or got on the line. I think Eric Fisher, I have to go back. Can't remember if he was tackle. He goes to Kansas City. Kansas City had line issues. Mahomes was pressured 53 times in Super Bowl, right? The line reminded me of how Philadelphia Eagles operated all year, right? Carson Wentz was on his back running for his life. That was uncharacteristic of a Chiefs offense, right? You usually see Mahomes orchestrating it, his offense at will, you know, moving up the ball down the field, doing what they do best. The Bucs, and I told you, I went on record multiple times saying the Bucs defense before that game, the Bucs defense would be the X factor and they would stop them. And they did. And the Chiefs filled in void, but not only that, but the Ravens, it was kind of like looking this way. For a guy who, again, I can't compare fantasy football with reality, but a guy who is ingrained in fantasy football, and I do trades, and I'm in a dynasty league, and I trade for draft picks. I mean, dude, I traded away players, and I accumulated, you know, J.K. Dobbins on my team in my dynasty fantasy league. I mean, you know, and I acquired picks in the process, like the Ravens. I didn't have a second-round pick in the initial draft. Now I do. It same thing. You know, you have to look at it from a business standpoint, from a transactional standpoint. I'm just going to break it down to you right here, okay? I'm going to review the trade, and I'm going to go piece by piece. So Kansas City got Brown. Kansas City got the Ravens' second-round pick this year, which was number 58 overall, and they got a 2022 sixth-round pick. The Ravens got four things in return to their three. Ravens got a first-round pick this year, 31. They got a third-round pick, 94. They got a fourth-round pick this year, number 136 overall, and a 2022 fifth-round pick. So let's break it down and dissect from top to bottom. I'm going to go from bottom to top. 2022 pick. They upgraded from a sixth-round to a fifth-round pick. So they improved around in 2022. They acquired a second fourth-round pick this year. They've acquired another third-round pick this year. And they moved up spots. They go from 58th overall to 31. And it's funny. Again, I've heard this argument, and it's one of the most, I would say, ignorant statements or just ill-informed statements. It's like, it doesn't make any sense. I've heard arguments with fans' reaction to, well, we don't have a second-round pick now. We have two first. And 31st pick is two picks removed from the first pick in the second round. So really? Like, you're really worried? You're mad at the trade because we gave away a second-round pick. Ravens have two first-round picks, Brandon. Two. They have 27 and 31, right? Pretty much almost back-to-back, virtually, you know, with three picks in between. This one makes me excited. Not that we weren't excited with draft night before. Now the Ravens have an arsenal of picks, and they got two first-rounders. They can select two players. They could trade one of them. They could trade both. Who knows? They could trade both of them and get a superstar player. Say, you know what? We got two first rounds. We're not going to pick the third round. Let's trade two first rounders and trade it for a player. Go something crazy. Let's do something crazy. And you don't know what can happen. And that's why it's like it adds the element of more surprise for draft night. Because then it's even crazier because it's like now you can tune in. The Ravens can trade one of those picks to move up closer. You know, they can, who knows, they could trade both those picks. And what if the Ravens move? I mean, I don't think this would happen, but just spitballing. What if they trade both of those low-end first rounds and they move into the top 15 or top 10 this year? Who knows what could happen? But again, draft picks are lotteries, right? We don't know what can happen. You know, they're picks. They're right. Whether it's top 15, top 10, first overall pick, they're exactly that picks. And if you look at just from a standpoint of picks with Lamar Jackson, Lamar Jackson was picked 32nd overall in the 2018 draft. Out of his peers, what, three or four quarterbacks went ahead of him. You know, Baker Mayfield was a first-round pick, right? First overall first-round pick. Lamar was 32nd. So they were bookending each of the first rounds. And we already know Lamar has had way more success. Obviously, they finally both won their playoff games in the same postseason this year. It was great. But obviously, Lamar's got the MVP. Lamar's got the more success, the more wins in regular season, all that. I'm tickled to death what the Ravens did. I mean, not only that, but to improve your position in 2022, as I recap, improving your position this year and acquiring another fourth round. They have 9 picks this year, man, 9 players, and that's not including what they can happen in the supplementals. So, man, Ravens are licking their chops, and you've been seeing the memes and the gifts, right? Who let Eric DaCosta get 2 first round picks this year? And he's going to walk in that war room and owning it like he does. And I'm excited to see what the Ravens can do. And this changes a lot of mocks, right? Because a lot of people, including myself, did a mock with Ravens. You know, and I only did round 1 mock. I did a full gambit, but none of that, but it changes the dynamic of the first round. The Ravens now join pretty much, I think it's the Jacksonville Jaguars and Miami Dolphins with multiple first round picks this year. So I was praising the Miami Dolphins for what they've done over the last years of the slew of draft picks they have in the next 2 years. The Ravens doing what they do best. You said it in the pre-show, right? We were talking. The Ravens just love to acquire draft picks. That's just what they love to do. They trade back to get more picks. They're always moving the board, and you're really going to see them orchestrate that when starting on Thursday night, tomorrow night. It's going to be fantastic, man. Again, I feel like it's a win-win all around. The Ravens got rid of a player. He goes to destination. He's going to shine and thrive. He's going to block another of MVP. I mean, he's blocked for an MVP. He goes from blocking Lamar to blocking for a NFL MVP and a Super Bowl winner and quarterback. So, I mean, and you got to give it to Orlando, man. What a great situation. I wish him well, but we'll be seeing him soon. And the last comments on that, going to his draft night when he's drafted. Remember, Edwin Molitalo called his number, called his draft card, his draft pick, and said, hey, guy works in mysterious ways. You know, he played with his father, Zeus, and Zeus Jr. Ends up being drafted as a Raven. So it was kind of bittersweet because I was hoping to see Orlando Brown being a Raven, pretty much almost like Ravens for life, or pretty much tenured here and getting a big contract. But, you know, things happen, right? Ryan Stanley goes down. Some things get shifted around. He's like, no, I want to play here. And the Ravens granted his wish. So, I feel like it's a win-win all around. I don't think there's a loser in the street.
No, and I mean, the only thing that sucks is that we are losing Zeus Jr., but I mean, if they're comfortable enough that, you know, potentially in this draft, they see some talent that could replace him and they could draft someone to replace that hole that he has now left, it comes at a cheaper rate as well. Because again, Zeus Jr., he's really good. He's going to have a very high price tag once that rookie deal is done. And now, you know, that's on the Chiefs book. So with these two picks, both in the first round, you know, like you already said, the Ravens love to trade back. They love to trade back those late first round picks and accumulate a couple second or third round picks. So I think the fact that they have 2 first round picks kind of gives them a little bit of wiggle room where, yeah, they can draft a first rounder and they could potentially take that second first round pick, trade that to someone else and get more picks later on in the draft, because they like those young, hungry players later on in the draft. Those second, third, even fourth round players are, you know, the bread and butter of the Ravens. I mean, that's where Zeus Jr. came from. They come into the organization and they become first rounders. I mean, would have been, you know, that's what they like to do, like to mold these players. So you're looking at the draft. You already did your mock draft. Where do you think the Ravens are going with that first pick that they have? Because there are a lot of holes in this lineup right now. I know I have a certain position I want the Ravens to focus on, but there are some fans out there. They want that sexy pick. They want that wide receiver. They want somebody.
Of course they do. Of course.
Who's going to be flashy. But it's wide receiver's never been an easy position for the Ravens to draft from. So What is your call? What do you think the Ravens are looking for that first pick that they have? What position are they going to focus on? Or is it just going to be a type of situation where they're like, hey, this is the best available athlete at this time. This is what we're going for. What do you think their thinking is?
three positions come to mind immediately: receiver, edge rusher, and maybe a tackle or a guard and or a guard. Three meaty positions of need, if my opinion. It's no secret that the Ravens are always looking to upgrade their receiving core. And it's kind of a, if I can use this word, enigma, right? It's really puzzling to me because you get Eric DaCosta, you know, basically being on the podium saying, well, it's an insult to our current wide receiver room. But didn't you just extend the contract? Did you just miss it, sir? I mean, it's just that's why I'm like, I guarantee you, if I was a media member in that room, I would have been like, Mr. DaCosta, I would have called him right out on that. Be like, because as soon as he said those words, I'm like, you just offered Juju, what, 12? I don't know what it was, 12 million. He turned the money down, especially for the Ravens and Chiefs, to remain with the Steelers for lesser. So I'm like, did you not? I get why he said that. He's standing up for his guys. He believes in what we have. Devin Duvernay, obviously, Hollywood Brown, Miles Boykin, and such. He said that to back up in the belief of his guys, but you got to always improve. You can't be happy with status quo, especially with happy with that core at a 32nd ranked passing attack. Not going to get it done, man. And first and foremost, if the Ravens were to keep both of these picks, I expect one of them to be a receiver. I would be really surprised if it's not. But our former head coach, now NFL Network analyst, Brian Billick, believes that the Ravens were going to choose two edge rushers back to back in the first round. So,
ooh.
I don't know, man. If I go there, I'm not questioning that tactic, but it's like, really? But you have to remember, we did let some go, you know. So, got a few pieces back with linebackers. We remember we re-signed LJ Fort back. We got Derek Wolfe back on the line, but you know, but we let some pieces go. Remember Matt Judon's going to New England Patriots.
That's a huge hole. That's now missing.
So there you go. So edge rusher in the first round with one of the two can fill the back void with Matt Judon leaving. Ending receiver, and I'm just going to some names, you know, some edge rushers. Miami Hurricane, Jalen Phillips. So following the tradition with another Miami Hurricane defensive player, who knows? Jalen Phillips could fill the void. There you go to you, flashing it up. you know, edge rusher from Penn State, Jason Owe. So he could be another one there to fill the void for – and then we have outside linebacker from Tulsa, Zayvon Collins. So there's another one there. And then we have Georgia, Azeez Ojulari, if I'm spelling – pronouncing his name right. I can't even speak today.
You're too excited.
Dude, it's pre-draft night. I got my purple polo on. I'm ready to go. It's draft night eve. I'm excited. So I can't wait to be locked in tomorrow night. Get done work, and we're going to watch the draft night. But then you have receivers the Ravens are linked to. In my mock, before the trade happened, I had the Ravens drafting LSU wide receiver Terrence Marshall Jr. and going with LSU for the second consecutive year in the first round. You know, the Ravens have been linked to him. Minnesota receiver Rashad Bateman. Wide receiver from Florida, they've been linked to Kadarius Toney and a few others there. So Terrence Marshall Jr., I bet you. And then you got the line. You have, and on the line covering that, you have documented the link is Mayfield, Jalen Mayfield from Michigan. Now you have Leatherwood from Alabama, Alex Leatherwood from Alabama, a tackle there. So there are a few names out there. And again, the Ravens have lost Yannick Ngakoue. That's the other name there. So if they go back-to-back, edge rusher, to close out the first round there, they replace him at Judon, Yannick Ngakoue. Granted, Yannick Ngakoue was a half-year rental, but still all-pro caliber player. Matt Judon, obviously a franchise player here, a lot of fan favorite. Again, going to greener pastures in New England, he's probably still going to be those Ravens like, see what Jared Johnson did, right? Jared Johnson goes to San Diego at the time, obviously. Now L.A. comes back and pretty much retires as a Raven. These guys always come back. They know their first home, their first love, and they have nothing great things to say about the Ravens organization. So I could see edge rusher, but if the talent's there, wide receiver, why not go edge rusher receiver and really take a skill position player right there and then solidifying a replacement for a Judon at that point. That's kind of where I see them going. I like to see receiver, edge rusher, one and two. I feel like they should hold on to both 27-31 and whatever combination, whatever they want to pick at 27-31. I feel like the Ravens could get a receiver there and could they finally hit on it? They have not, for the success and the clout that the front office has, man. Isn't it crazy that the one position that eludes them is receiver? You know, they haven't drafted one, man. I mean, they drafted Randy Hines, Travis Taylor, Brashad Perryman. I mean, it's just the list goes down. They haven't hit on him. And then the Ravens have to – you feel like every year I go into them, I'm like, is this the draft? They draft the receivers must stick. You know, when Brashad Perry's name was called and it was a wild card, we didn't know. We really wanted him to be that guy, right? Mark Clayton as well. And they just they just never panned out. And the Ravens receivers that have had made impacts were the free agents of old. Derek Mason, Anquan Boldin, Steve Smith, all these journeymen at the end of their career that come in and bought out for one last ride here and close out their career. For once, I'm going to see the Ravens land a viable receiver. You know, I would love it, whether it's, you know, Megatron and all that. And it seems like no matter what in the news, when there is there's a trade rumor or a free agent receiver, isn't the Ravens always linked to him? It's like,
yeah,
it's like Joe Smith released by the Saints. Oh, he's linked to the Ravens. He's wide receiver 4. It's like, no matter what it is, it immediately, and you've seen it in the news, the Ravens were again linked to flirting with AB, and AB actually today just signed back with the Buccaneers. He's back. Buccaneers have brought all back their players, man. All 11. I covered it before. I said they pretty much bought back all their starters except AB. AB is back. Buccaneers could easily really repeat. They brought all their starters back on both defense and offense. It's very scary, but also awesome to do it in a Super Bowl year where usually you see a mass exodus after that. So, again, the Ravens are linked to Julio Jones, of all people, but that's via trade, and the trade probably won't happen until after June 1st because, obviously, cap implications for the Atlanta Falcons. We'll see what happens there because a lot of fans are excited with the 2 first-rounders. Is all we can use that as – you know, bait for Julio and give the Falcons some picks. Julio, well, won't happen on draft night because of Julio's contract situation. If the Falcons, very simply, it was put out there, the Falcons were to trade him prior to June 1st. It's a big cap hit for them. They trade him after June 1st. They save on the cap. So it's a money situation for them and how the league runs. We'll see. But what do you think, just focusing on the first round, I know not to discount the other rounds and the 7 picks they do have in their arsenal. It's really hard to predict 3rd, 4th, 5th, 6th, and 7th rounds, but focusing on the 2 first rounders, now that I've gotten the receiver and edge rusher out in the air, where do you think they're going to go? What's your take?
Well, I completely agree with you. I definitely see an edge rusher being taken in the first round by the Ravens. I absolutely think that's going to happen. But with those 2 picks being so close together, we've seen the Ravens, like we've said, trade back to the 2nd round and then gobble up some extra picks. Could this be one of the first years where they trade up in this draft to go after a certain player? I mean, they usually are very comfortable at the, you know, the bottom 20s, early 30s to make their picks. So I kind of think it would be uncharacteristic for them to maybe jump up to, like, you know, spot 16 or 17 or something like that for a player. But
the last time they traded down and then up was Joe Flacco, remember? They traded back up to 18 to get him. So that, of recent memory, that's the only time I remember them trading up.
Yeah.
You know, they usually trade back or stay where they're at. So that's an intriguing take.
But with 2 first round picks, is this the year they do it? I don't know.
They had the arsenal to do it, right?
Right. Yeah.
Why not? You still have a first round pick if you trade up. You still have 2, or trade them and maybe another late. You know, trade tandem it. Maybe trade one of your 1st and 4th. You know, to move up. You know, you're getting they got draft capital to do it. I mean, you know, for all those who are curious now, this is what draft night looks like for the Ravens. 2 first rounds. They have a 3rd round. Actually, they have 2 3rd round picks. They have 2 4th round picks. They have 2 5th round picks and a 6th round pick. So, you know, virtually the 31st can be looked at as a very late or early 2nd, you know, late 1st or the 2nd. Oh, that 31st, 32nd pick is technically a 2nd round pick anyway. I mean, you're 2-3 picks away there anyway. So, yeah, I mean, the Ravens can get rid of – I mean, they have the 94th and 104th overall in round 3. So they can really trade. I can see them trading, you know, 27 and 94 to move up to 15, and they get 15 and 31st. Then you gain 10 plus positions in the draft. Yeah, you're one less pick. You still have 8, but then you get a top 15 player. So that's how it works. You have to look at it that way. You don't look at it as, well, I don't want them to lose a pick. Now, you kind of have to give and take. You might have to 2-for-1 deal if you need to move up. So a lot of strategy. And again, at the beginning of the show, this is why I said this is the exciting part. We can sit here and dissect it all evening, right? All day, all evening. They can go anywhere. And this is the beauty of them having more picks. And for the first time in recent memory, it might be even the first time ever since 96. Is this the first time they've had two first rounds? Remember, they had the fourth and the 26th overall 96 when they drafted Ogden and Ray Lewis. So I have to go back. Is this the first time this happened since then? Yeah, all these years later? I mean, I can't remember a time where they did. No. Didn't they draft Suggs and Bowler in the same first round? I remember Bowler standing on the podium with someone else. Did they draft? I'm going to look. See, I'm curious now. Yeah. Let me look. I know. But yeah, besides the point, but it's still exciting no matter what.
Now, one position you haven't really brought up, we brought up edge rushers and wide receivers, but I have this terrible memory of that Buffalo Bills game in January of a ball being thrown completely over Lamar Jackson's head, him chasing it down the field, and then him falling and getting a concussion when his head hit the ground due to, you know, our center not being very good. So I think center is going to be a position that they're going to have to focus on in this draft. They've had some players that have gone through that have been like third round picks or fourth round picks, but center, I think, is a position that they need to address in this draft because it didn't cut it last year. And we saw what happened when you got bad snaps. You know, Matt Skura was benched for, I think, two games straight at some point this season. And then that Buffalo game, that killed any kind of momentum that the Ravens had at that point when that ball was overthrown and Lamar got taken out from a concussion. I mean, third quarter, might have been fourth quarter, but that was game. That was it.
Yep. So that's ball game.
They need to address that situation because the center position, as we've seen, you know, is very important. And when you have somebody who's overthrowing your quarterback or underthrowing your quarterback or throwing it at the wrong time, you're not going to win games that way.
No, yeah, you're right. I mean, I bet you brought that up. I mean, you know, obviously, Mesker moving on. Center is a big need. I don't see any centers linked that high to the Ravens at that point. I mean, it could be later in the draft. I would have to go down the board, but it is another pressing need. And I know a lot of, you know, fans were clamoring for that too.
I know there has been some talk of like Bradley Bozeman moving over to the center position, but
there's been
talks.
Yes.
Yeah. I don't know how solid those talks are.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, going back to the center position, you're right. I don't know if they're going to promote somebody within, trying to do some line shuffling there. If they're going to draft one, maybe in the third round, I don't see them going that high for a center in the first round, unless there was somebody of need. I haven't seen anybody on the draft board linked to a center position at that, as far as that's concerned. But yeah, I mean, center, again, it's not that hot pick, but it gets the job done. It's a much very needed. It's intriguing to see what remains with the Ravens' plans for the line as well. But draft night's going to be – oh, and speaking of that, I did found the info. It was the 2003 draft. They did draft Suggs and Bowler in the first round. The Ravens drafted Terrell Suggs, obviously future Hall of Famer, 10 overall. Then they had the 19th overall pick Kyle Bowler. So hitting one out of two in the first round there wasn't a bad deal. So it was not only 96 but 2003. So the last two times they did it, they drafted three Hall of Famers. So not too shabby, three out of four and two picks out of first round. So they have a good track record for that. Very intrigued to see what they can do here, man. I'm excited.
Yeah. And like you said, I mean, we lost Zeus Jr. There's going to be a hole there to replace. So maybe you go edge rusher in the first round, but then you look for that replacement for
Orlando
Brown Jr. and fix that O-line up. So maybe it was a get his, you know, more of a money move, get that contract off the books. And then you're bringing in a first rounder or maybe somebody in the third round that's going to be cheaper that can fill that hole that, you know, they have their eyes on. Let me ask you this, though. This is maybe like the draft as a whole, not just for the Ravens. This has been a very odd year. I mean, I don't think anyone can disagree with that due to COVID. COVID affected everybody's life and changed how, you know, people present football, play football. I mean, you were in the draft last year because there couldn't be fans in attendance.
Not this
so
year.
You were...
I wasn't last year.
You were in it last year, but some of these players, and they have every right to do this. And, you know, if they weren't comfortable, they didn't have to. Some of them did sit out this season due to COVID, and that's their right to do that. But what does that mean for just the NFL as a whole drafting these players? Because you're only watching tape from, you know, 18 months ago, some of these highlights that you're watching. There were pro days. There was no combine. What does that mean to the longevity of the players in this draft? And what does that mean for the NFL as a whole, that these some of these players are coming in and we haven't seen them in over a year playing football? I'm sure they're in shape. I'm sure they didn't just quit, you know, going to the gym. But to be out right on the football field every single week playing a game, and then you take a year off, I mean, I have to assume you're worried about injuries. You're worried about whether or not this player still has it. This is going to be this season, really, because you're going to be all excited seeing these players on draft night. But when the season rolls around, we might be seeing some under-skilled players or maybe out-of-practice players. And like we know right now, the Ravens said that they are sitting out of some of the off-season workouts that are usually mandatory. So there's a lot of how COVID is still affecting us, and we're bringing these players in, and they might not be as polished as you would hope.
No, that's definitely a concern. You know, given a condensed 2020 football season with that, there were some games that weren't played, some condensed schedules, reduced schedules. You got to take it for what it is, just like everything else, right? Looking over overall landscape of college football as a whole, you know, you look at injuries, right? You look at, you know, play ability, you look at stats, you kind of take it with a grain of salt. Okay. What did the production look like in 2020? Okay, we know it was a off year, you know, and then you don't really compare it to the past seasons they've had. Like if they were if they were a true senior, okay, their sophomore, you know, in junior year they balled out because it was a full season, everything was fine, and then, you know, COVID year hit, they didn't have practice, the team couldn't play spring football, whatever the excuse may be, or not excuse but concerns and the realities of the situation. Got to evaluate from what it is. There was no combine this year in Indianapolis, but, you know, some players had their own pro days, media attended, coaches attended, but that was at their own discretion. It wasn't like league held or league mandatory mandated. Yeah. There was no NFL combine to be had this year. No, the 40 yard dashes, nobody doing the necessary things it is that you evaluate for talent scouting purposes. So it's going to be different this year, especially with every team having a full slate of picks. That's the realities of the COVID situation and playing in a pandemic year and trying to wade through the mess. And I feel like, again, the professional scouts, the professionals, they know what's required of that and get it done, but you got to go back on the past film and notes, right? You know, what they do in 2019, what do they look like? But some players are coming off of injuries in 2020. So what's that look like for them? That's another reality that you have to look at too. I know the receiver that I mentioned that the Ravens linked to, Terrence Marshall Jr., he was coming off an injury. But then again, wasn't Hollywood Brown coming off an injury? And it looked like, even though he had the screw removed from his foot, you know, remember the Miami game, he had a homecoming, coming out party. Didn't really slow him down all year. But that was a knock on him when he was drafted. It was, okay, he's a little bit injured, how's that look? And it didn't slow him down. So, yeah. It's definitely a major concern, one to definitely have a conversation about. But I feel like each scouting department, the Ravens, they know it's required, and they have to make the necessary adjustments, changes. A lot of probably Zoom meetings with these players, can't bring them in and meet them in person, obviously due to a lot of safety protocols. So there's a lot of different variances. But given that this is a second go-around the NFL, they probably perfected that, right? Gotten used to it, just like how we get used to doing things for our jobs, right? Zoom meetings and having to be teleconferencing, and you know, they're probably doing walkthroughs and practicing, but watching a lot of film, maybe interviewing these players via phone call or Skype call or Zoom call, and get to see and interact with them. And you know, there's probably ways around that digitally, but there's some tangibles that can't be duplicated. You know, pro day, seeing them in person, seeing how they run routes and cut, or seeing how an edge rusher busts through the line and handles that. So Yeah, it's definitely a concern that probably is on the top of everybody's list when they have to talk about the situation. I've heard the coach, Coach Harbaugh, speak to this about in one of the fan forum Zoom calls about adjusting for the practices and the Zoom call meetings. And it's tough, but again, they're professionals, they're men, they adjust.
Yeah, we'll see what happens this upcoming season, but it is interesting because it's just, you know, you're kind of going off of it's kind of like a best case scenario. It's like a best guess scenario, I should say, and in the draft, but this year especially, you know, you've got to do even more homework because it's not just available to you right away. So it'll be intriguing to see what happens. The Ravens, though, I mean, they are. Drafting is a masterclass with the Ravens organization most of the time, and things really do work out. And this is a fun day. It's the draft day is going to be in Cleveland this year, and on Good Morning Football, they had a little preview of what the stage looked like. And I went to Cleveland a couple years ago. I know a band that I saw there, which were a Beatles cover band called the Sunrise Joneses. They're going to be playing for the draft day. So I hope we get to see some of them on TV. And you know, I hope they're going to, if I'm there for the, and I'm getting drafted, I'm renting out the Christmas Story house and I'm waiting for that call sitting in the Christmas Story house, living room. That's what I would be doing.
I like it. I like it a lot, man. Yeah, that'd be legendary. That'd probably be a first movie prop intro. Got to spruce it up, right? It's draft night.
There's a place not too far from Cleveland. I think it's Medina, Ohio, and there's this place called Castle Noel that has a bunch of these movie props. Like, what if you got the call and you're in Cousin Eddie's RV from Christmas Vacation? Like, that would be kind of cool.
It's not a bad idea. It would have been great to get the players on board and say, here, let them rent out the place for a day. For that night. Yeah. Excuse me. Oh, man, that's neat. And have each first round pick at least do a intro on Zoom or Skype from the movie prop. That would be fantastic. To do that. That's a great idea. Hey, innovative spin and creative spin on something for draft night. But yeah, it's going to be great to see the production with that. I mean, I know with the draft being we're seeing progress, right? You know, we've seen remember last year in the draft and how it was conducted. And then you see the NFL, what they did with the no fans and some pocket of fans in some stadiums. There's no canceled games. They played a full slate of games, a full playoffs. There's a Super Bowl champion awarded at the end of the year. And now they come this far. And now the second year into this thing or second NFL season to have it actually at a live stage with the commissioner present with live fans there, we're moving in the right direction. It's positive. I think we'd be a little bit disappointed if it was the same exact format as last year. So again, hey, making headway in the right direction, and maybe 2022 will be half out or full for the draft and getting back to some relevance of normalcy there. But man, and then who knows? We still got to address the fan issues for the games, but that's another conversation for a later time this off season because we still got the schedule to release 2 weeks after. This draft. So we'll, the call schedule, obviously we're going to get full here a little bit, Brandon, podcasting's back. Now, not only that, but we break down the aftermath of the draft this weekend, obviously Thursday, Friday, Saturday, all the rounds reconvene. And then in 2 weeks from there, May 12th, we have the schedule release for the whole season, obviously each team in the full season. So this is where we know when it's happening. We know the opponents home and away, but the exact win will be released then in 2 weeks. So it's going to be great here, getting the calendars full. And with traveling coming back, we know the Ravens traveled to Vegas this year to play Las Vegas Raiders. So I know that's a lot of been on the fans' radars this year. They have some good home opponents that are coming to M&T Bank. So what's that look like? I don't even know. I mean, I'm a season ticket holder and I don't hold the answers to that. I've asked everybody, even including my season ticket manager for the Ravens. No one really knows. I mean, we've heard the commissioner say he expects full capacity for NFL stadiums. We would love to be there. I know I was there for O's opening day this year, the Orioles. We know MLB's open to 25%, as we know the Capitals, D.C., just opened the fans. So UFC's done it. WrestleMania had fans down in Florida. So we're starting to see fans come back to these sporting events. we'll see. But it doesn't slow us down. Exciting times talking about the draft. Doesn't slow anything down. Talking schedule release. Things are going to go on as planned, and the call is going to get real busy here for the offseason. And who knows? I was actually looking for my phone. As I was talking to you, I put my phone down, and I've been searching for it since, because there were some developments in the Julio Jones rumors. Here it is. Found it. Yep, it's official. Adam Albright, NFL, his official Twitter, and I found it because our great Sarah Ellison, who used to cover the Ravens, as we know, just tweeted about it 10 seconds ago live on the show here. Adam Albright says on Twitter, "I know they want to shore up their O-line and wide receiver, but they know it's deep. It's a deep O-line class, as we talked about, with the potential of the Ravens adding a lineman, right? Because there are some linemen out there, and they're in on Julio Jones, so went with value." And there was whatever that says. It says went with value and where the class is weak. Sarah Ellison's reply to that says, "You see how he snuck into Julio Jones dash Ravens. Wouldn't surprise me if Ravens inquire about Julio because he's Julio and they have draft assets to trade, but can't ignore cap implications. Ravens don't have the space this year. So I take serious juggling. It would take serious juggling or contract restructure." And that's the issue, is not only do they have the draft capital to pull the trade off, but there's the money side too. So the Ravens cap was friendly in 2020, where they could have spent a lot of money. This year, it's not too friendly. And there's a sticky situation, as I covered before, with the June 1st deadline. What a Falcons going to do remains to be seen. But hey, June 1st is a month away. I mean, May 1st is this weekend. So stay tuned. We have draft, we have schedule, and then we have a Julio Jones pending trade, whether it's in the next month or the next month and a half. He might have new scenery out of Atlanta. So stay tuned as always. But yeah, that's late breaking from the Twitterverse, and the rumors have proved true with the official NFL blue check marks and the media members. So yes, the Julio Ravens in on the trade, at least they're inquiring about it. So it's not hearsay. It's something's happening behind the scenes. So no official word on the Ravens. As you know, they always play close to the chest. They never really reveal what their true intentions are, but it's fun to talk about, and it's fun to at least see what transpires.
All right, we'll see what happens. So, Josh, have we covered everything for this draft day special of The Call?
We have. Quote the Raven, nevermore.
All right, guys. Well, if you want to continue the conversation with Josh or I, you can. It's real easy. All you have to do is tweet to either one of us. You can tweet to me at Brando Cash. Josh, where can people tweet to you at?
Always at ItalianGQ52.
And I did tweet Josh a couple days ago. Awesome picture of the Lombardi Trophy with the Stanley Cup right in the reflection of the Lombardi, since Tampa has all the trophies right now. So, pretty cool photo. You can look for that on our Twitter accounts. Now, we do this show for free. You listen, stream, and download for free on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player.fm,
Overcast,
Google Podcast, and Spotify. All we ask in return is for you to please spread the word about the show. Write us an Apple Podcast review, and then let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Reddit and Snapchat and Twitch and TikTok, anywhere you're social on the web or with your phone. Say, "I'm a Baltimore Ravens fan. I listen to The Call, and you should too." And don't forget, follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/The Call Podcast. Like us over there. We're still posting any kind of news, information, anything we think you guys will enjoy. We post over on the Facebook page. And when the Ravens make some picks, you know, we'll be sharing that information as well. So that's it for the show this week. We will talk to you guys next week, recapping the draft. Josh, take us out the way you always do.
Brandon, man, thank you so very much. It's great to be back podcasting with you, my friend. And had to get my feel with you. I miss you so much. I had to go over to What the Puck podcast, just listen to some Caps action. And they're doing very well, winding it down. So another podcast on the docket for Brandon's network here, Brandon Cash Network. And hey, The Call is back. 2021 offseason in full swing. NFL draft is upon us, the eve of it. It's one of those unofficial holidays. The other one's the draft, not only the draft, but the schedule release. And we're excited. Ravens talk has been heating up. the group chats, especially on my end, have been filled with the Julio rumors and who we might trade, and the trade that just happened, obviously, with Brown and the draft picks and what we might do, what we might not do. We're just happy to welcome some new Ravens to the flock here this weekend and embrace them. It's going to be great. Can't wait to hear who they get, but then the introductory press conferences and the fan reaction to follow. And it's just an overall going to be a fun weekend and just happy to have it all back. Happy to be talking NFL football with everybody again. As always, it never stops. Seems like no matter in season, off season, no matter what season, it's always Ravens season or Ravens football to be talked about. And I can't wait, man. And great to be podcasting back with my co-host, man. I missed you this off season. But hey, it goes quick, man. I mean, feels like just yesterday we lost to the Bills and here we are talking draft. So we're all steam ahead to through the off season and getting back to getting towards back to a new campaign in 2021 for the Ravens. And I can't wait to see how it stacks out in May with the schedule, and we'll break it all down. It's always on the call, everybody. How about it? NFL draft, let's fly high.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by Brad Lepore and Daniel Kelly from the DBK Studio. For more information, go to brandocash.com.